Welcome, everyone. My name is Peter Rauchi. I'm with the Institute of International Education, and we are delighted to present Opportunities in the Western Hemisphere on the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program today. And thanks, everyone, for joining this webinar. I am joined today with a Fulbright Scholar alum, Dr. Carmen Oquendo Villar, who is currently at Harvard University. I'll say a little bit about Dr. Villar. Carmen Oquendo Villar studied film at NYU's Graduate Film Program, the Department of Visual and Environmental Studies at Harvard University, where she obtained her PhD in Romance Languages and Literatures. She directed Boquita, Misery, Camille, Carmelo, and La Aguja. Currently, she's working on a feature documentary, Todas las Flores, part of the transmedia project Santa Fe, which explores an experiment in urban planning in Colombia. Dr. Oquendo Villar's work has been supported by the John Simon Guggenheim Memorial Foundation, the David Rockefeller Center for Latin American Studies, the Jacob Javits Fellowship, among many others, and of course she is a Fulbright alum to Columbia. So I want to give a special welcome to Dr. Oquendo Villar for joining us today. I can't wait for her to share her experiences on her Fulbright grant. So what I want to do, though, before we talk about the opportunities in the Western Hemisphere for the 2020-2021 competition, I want to give a little bit of a background about the Fulbright program. So the Fulbright program was established in 1946 really to expand and strengthen relations between the United States and citizens of the rest of the world. This is such an important historical context because this idea is what makes a strong Fulbright project even to this day. So really, the work that you're proposing to do, the cutting-edge research, the brilliant teaching projects, we want to support that, but it has to have that foundation of diplomacy, that as a Fulbrighter, you're an ambassador. You're really representing the United States, and the work that you do, the work that you propose, has some impact and is beneficial to your host institution, your host country, your home institution in the United States in general, and then certainly, of course, yourself professionally, academically, and, of course, personally. So, again, that's what makes a strong Fulbright project is that notion of the person-to-person diplomacy. And really, it goes back to the very foundation of the program, back to 1946. The Fulbright program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs and administered by the Institute of International Education's Council for the International Exchange of Scholars. As a Fulbrighter, you are in great company. There have been 380,000 awards funded since the inception of the program in 1946. We send about 800 U.S. scholars abroad annually, and we receive a similar number of international scholars in the U.S. every year as well. Throughout the full umbrella of Fulbright programs, we work with about 160 different participating countries. Specifically for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, which is what we'll focus on today, we work with about 130 different countries. Our alumni include heads of state, Nobel laureates, recipients of the Presidential Medal of Honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, rather, the Pulitzer Prize, MacArthur Fellows. Really, as a Fulbrighter, you're in wonderful company, and this is part of a network that will be with you for the rest of your academic, professional, and personal life. Diversity and inclusion is really a cornerstone of the Fulbright program, and if you really want to think about it this way, I think it's helpful to realize that we are so focused on increasing mutual understanding between the U.S. and other countries. And why diversity is important to that is that there is not one kind of American experience. There is not one kind of American scholar. There isn't one kind of American institution. So we really do strive to show the full breadth and depth of the U.S. through the U.S. Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program and every other Fulbright program. So there are lots of different Fulbright programs. I'll talk about them a little bit towards the end of the presentation, but really the common thread is that we want to increase mutual understanding, and really diversity and inclusion is so key to that. So today, as I mentioned, we're going to focus on the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. These are generally awards that support projects focused on research, teaching, or some combination thereof. That's about 93% of the catalog of awards that we have on offer for 2020-2021. I'll also show you the catalog of awards. That's gonna happen a little bit later in the presentation. But really, the the vast majority of what we have are research, teaching, or some combination of those two activities. About 7% of our catalog offerings feature international education seminars, and I'll also touch on those a little bit later in the presentation. Baseline eligibility for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program include U.S. citizenship. So you do have to be a U.S. citizen to participate in the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. If you're not a U.S. citizen, you may be able to apply through your country of citizenship to come to the U.S. on a visiting scholar grant. We have about 460 different awards in our catalog of awards. Each one will have different parameters, and I'm going to show you how to find out the different parameters, but I want to point out some general eligibility considerations. There may be degree requirements listed in the award description. So some awards will require a doctoral degree or other terminal degree in your field. However, many are open to applicants with master's degrees and folks outside of academia with relevant professional and academic experiences. If you're a recent recipient of a master's degree or you are a recent recipient of your undergraduate degree or have your undergraduate degree, you may want to look at the Fulbright U.S. Student Program, which does the distinction is mostly around the stage in your career. So if you have a bachelor's degree or if you just got a master's degree, you may want to look more at the Fulbright U.S. Student Program, which is a separate program from the Scholar Program. Today we're going to focus on the Scholar Program. Generally, though, the Scholar Program awards are open to U.S. faculty, professionals outside of academia, artists, folks with substantial work records and experience in their fields. If you're applying for an award that features teaching, there's likely to be a requirement of a number of years teaching or teaching in a certain setting or teaching of a certain topic. We do highly encourage veterans of the U.S. military to apply. And there are some new policies on Fulbright grants that you may not be aware of. So the Fulbright, there is no longer a limit to the number of Fulbright grants you can receive in your lifetime. You just have to wait 2 years from one grant ending to be able to apply to another grant. But again, that's a newer policy. If you've been keeping tabs on Fulbright for a while, you may not have been aware of that. But again, you can receive as many Fulbrights in your lifetime as you're competitive to receive. You just have to wait 2 years in between the end of your grant and a new application. In general, as I mentioned, our awards support teaching and or research. Our awards range anywhere from 2 to 12 months. And we have programs active in about 130 different countries. These awards are generally appropriate for faculty, but also administrators and professionals outside of academia. Aggregately, we're open to all academic disciplines, but you definitely want to make sure that the work that you're proposing is relevant to the country that you're proposing and to the award for which you're proposing through our application. You do have to identify a specific award with a proposed project. So really, it's all about that alignment. And I'll talk to you about some of the overarching priorities for the Western Hemisphere. So that, but again, aggregately, we're open to all academic disciplines. So if the country that you're interested in or even the award that you're interested in doesn't feature your discipline or can't accommodate your discipline, you may be able to find a different award that does. Our application deadline is September 16th, and again, wide variety of opportunities. You can affiliate with universities, certainly, but then if the award allows it, you're able to affiliate with NGOs, research centers, cultural centers as well. So at this point, I want to welcome Dr. Carmen Oquendo-Villar to talk about her experience in Colombia. I'm really going to give you the foundations of Fulbright and show you, you know, how to find award opportunities and give you a sense of what's available in the Western Hemisphere. But I'd really love to have Dr. Oquendo-Villar talk about her experience in Colombia and how it impacted her. So, Dr. Oquendo-Villar, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Peter, for that wonderful introduction, and hello to everybody looking to apply for Fulbright. I really don't have enough words to describe how much the Fulbright has contributed to my projects and to my growth as a person, as a professional. I went, perhaps the best way to start would be to say, because I went on the Fulbright twice, and the two times was in Colombia. And I guess that I'd like to explain how I got to be interested in Colombia, given that I am from Puerto Rico and my dissertation had been about a different topic, which is Chile. While I was a graduate student at Harvard, I was in the Department of Romance Languages and Literatures, and simultaneously I was working on film. And I did some work on transgender Latino community here in Boston, Massachusetts. And at that point, I got invited to Colombia to present my work. And during that visit, I met transgender community and advocates in Colombia. Simultaneously, while I was at Harvard, I also met former mayor of Bogota, which created a zone that legalized sex work in a zone in a neighborhood of Bogota that I ended up studying. So that's 2006, and I applied. Fast forward to 2011. I'm already a professor, an assistant professor at SUNY Purchase, and I'm working on this documentary. I had the combination of academia and filmmaking. So I was doing research, and the work I do as a documentary filmmaker is very conversant with other discussions and conversations that happen in academia. So in a way, I'm an unconventional documentary filmmaker, and I'm also an unconventional scholar in the sense that I go back and forth between those worlds. And when I arrived to the university that I was affiliated with at the beginning, which is La Universidad Nacional de Colombia, I was in a communications department, and it was a wonderful experience. My host at the university, which was Professor Alejandro Jaramillo Hoyos, was teaching a course on methodologies. It was a required course for graduate students. And we taught that course together. And during the last section of the course, I took the students on field work to the neighborhood I was studying, and it was an amazing experience. They produced work that ended up being featured in an online project that we had together. And while being there, I created a lot of connections during that first visit and advanced the project significantly. Then I continued working on the project, and fast forward to 2017-2018. I'm now at Puerto Rico, based in Puerto Rico, in the law school at the Universidad Interamericana de Puerto Rico, working on human rights documentaries. And I expand on that project, now making it a transmedia project. Now it had more a bent of, it had a human rights component that was built into it. And my host institution now was La Universidad de Bogotá, Jorge Tadeo Lozano, and I was at the Cross Media Lab. Again, I was co-teaching with my host, which was Professor Alejandro Ángel Torres. And on this occasion, the students were involved in a different way, because they came to actually do the film with me. And that was an amazing experience. Actually, before leaving, we had a Cátedra Fulbright, which is an event that they do in Colombia. I'm not sure if they do it in every country, but it's a panel in which they bring together ex-Fulbrighters, and they talk about a certain topic. In this case, it was documentary and LGBT human rights. And so during that event, we were really interested in the way in which academic institutions can step into the field of filmmaking, you know, and documentary filmmaking. So we had very interesting conversations. So I guess that I'm just going to say that for now, and then if there are any questions, I'll answer them later. But, you know, one thing I'd like to end with this. Sometimes when you're making a documentary is and you're working with really hard topics that are not going to get easily funded in other ways because they're not commercial in the sense that some films, that most films that get funded do, it's very interesting to explore them through academia and through exchanges of this type. So thank you for listening, and thank you for the invitation, Peter.
Well, thank you, Dr. Okendo-Vidar. And I'd like to, before I jump on to the rest of my presentation, I'd like to ask you one question very quickly. And if you want to think about it and come back to it later, if you had one bit of advice for an applicant for the Fulbright Scholar Program, what would it be, or what would your top bit of advice be?
Yes, I'd like some time to think about it.
Okay, great. Well, we'll have some time for Q&A, and we'll see if folks have specific questions for you. But thanks again so much for sharing an overview of the work that you've done on Fulbright.
Thank you, Peter.
Of course. And let's look at what's available in the Western Hemisphere. So the Western Hemisphere is a large region spanning from Canada to Chile. 27 countries are represented in the region. There are 55 award offerings available in the Western Hemisphere, but there are about 200 grants available across the 55 awards, keeping in mind that one award may have multiple grant opportunities. So the biggest grant that we have, the biggest award rather, that we have in the region is the Brazil All Disciplines. There are 30 grants available to that award, and then other awards will have different numbers of grants attached to them. Many will have one or two, others will have, you know, larger numbers. I'll show you how to find that information when I demonstrate the catalog of awards. But let's do a quick overview of what's available throughout the region. And let's start north and work our way south. Let's do some regional priorities first before we do a sort of geographical trip through the region. So STEM fields are, in general, across the region, a priority. Certainly there are awards and opportunities in Brazil, Mexico, Canada, Argentina, Chile, Paraguay, Uruguay, Colombia, and the Caribbean, but really throughout the entire region, STEM fields are our priority. So these are all science fields, everything from agriculture to zoology and everything in between. ESL is a big priority for the Western Hemisphere. You'll definitely find very targeted awards or preferences for ESL in Mexico, in Uruguay, in the Dominican Republic, and then certainly in Central America. Professional projects are a new kind of award activity that the Scholar Program is supporting, and in the region, Honduras is open to projects that are focused on professional development, and also the Peru. In Peru, we have the Public Policy Fellowship, which is also focused on professional development, and then U.S. Studies, American Studies is of course a priority throughout the region, and you'll find very targeted interest in Brazil, in Mexico, Bolivia, Canada, and Chile, among other countries throughout the region. But so let's take a trip though throughout the region. Let's start north and work our way south, and let's start in Canada. So Canada has an All Disciplines Award. You'll see All Disciplines Awards quite commonly throughout our catalog of awards, not just in the Western Hemisphere, but also in other countries. This is a sort of open-ended award where you're designing your own project and finding a host institution in Canada. Canada also has a postdoc award focused on northern issues at the University of North British Columbia. Then there are two awards in Canada that I wanted to briefly talk about, the Distinguished Chair, Research Chairs at Carleton University and the Open Award, the Field Open Award at St. Mary's and York University. These opportunities give you the ability to affiliate with Carleton University or St. Mary's or York University in a wide variety of different fields. We also have a joint award with Canada and Mexico, the Carlos Rico Award for North American Studies, where you spend time in both Canada and Mexico. We have a webinar that will do a deep dive on awards to Canada on March 26th. If you can join us for that, please do. I'll share I'll share registration information with everyone who registered for this webinar for that. It's also on our website. If you can't join us live for that, we will record it and post it on our website and share it with folks that registered with us. But then continuing in Canada, we have the Research Chair Awards. These are great awards because they're structured a little bit differently than the other opportunities in the Western Hemisphere, but they're very thematic. And within the awards, there are generally pre-identified host institutions that fall into the overarching theme, but will have different areas of focus. In general, for these awards, applicants have the opportunity to rank hosts in that are pre-identified in their proposals or in the application, and you may be able to sort of if you're interested in more than one of the potential hosts, you may be able to indicate more than one would be an appropriate fit for your project. And for these awards, generally letters of invitation are not required. So there are, you know, these are interesting opportunities that look a little bit different in structure than other opportunities throughout the Western Hemisphere. But as you can see, there are a really wide variety of themes represented across these awards. We have the arts, humanities, and culture, business and economics, education, science and technology, environmental sciences, health and food security, indigenous studies, North American studies, and policy, law, and governance. So really a wide variety of opportunities in Canada, and these Research Chair Awards are really interesting awards. We'll dig deeper into these opportunities in the Canada-specific webinar, but I'll also show you these awards later on in this presentation when I demonstrate the catalog of awards. So let's move south to Mexico. Mexico has a postdoc award. We also have the Fulbright Scholar Border Program with Mexico. This is a very special award. It's the only award, really, where you don't live in the host country full-time. You have to be affiliated with a U.S. institution on the Mexican border, and you would affiliate with an institution in Mexico on the U.S. border and travel back and forth between the U.S. and Mexico. Very specialized award. Mexico also has a Science and Technology Award, really a priority for Mexico. All variety of different sciences can be represented in this award. You can't practice medicine, of course, on any Fulbright grant, but certainly you can conduct medical research or teach, open to other sciences as well. Mexico has a specialized award, Teaching English as a Foreign Language Award, which is really, again, focused on ESL. We also have a U.S. Studies Chair in Mexico where, similar to the Canada Research Chair Awards, the U.S. Studies Chair has pre-identified host institutions, and you may be interested in more than one of them, and you can indicate that, and the final sort of affiliation is arranged by COMEX's Fulbright Commission in Mexico. And then again, just to mention it again, the Fulbright Carlos Rico Award for North American Studies, that is an award where you would spend part of your grant in Canada, part of your grant in Mexico. We also have a Mexico Spotlight webinar on April 4th. Again, we'll do a deeper dive into these different opportunities in Mexico for that webinar. Join us live if you can. If you can't, we will archive it and post it on our website. All right, let's skip around just a little bit to go to Brazil. I do want to focus on some of the different opportunities in Brazil. We do have an All Disciplines Award in Brazil. This is the biggest award that we have in our region in the Western Hemisphere, so there are 30 grants available under this award. This is a very open-ended award, open to really any academic discipline. You can teach, you can conduct research, you can do a combination. It's a four-month grant, and it's a wonderful way to affiliate with an institution in Brazil. 30 grants available for this award. But then we have more specialized awards in Brazil that aren't as sort of open-ended as the All Disciplines Award. We have the Postdoctoral Award to Brazil in Natural Sciences, so this is appropriate for folks that have recently received a doctoral degree in the sciences, generally within 5 years of receipt of your doctoral degree. But then we also have the Distinguished Chair in American Studies at the Federal University of Minas Gerais, the Distinguished Chair of International Relations at the University of Sao Paulo, and the Distinguished Chair in Public Policy at the Joaquim Nabuco Foundation in Brazil. So these three Distinguished Chair Awards in Brazil are a bit specialized, and you can see they're in particular fields of study at particular institutions in Brazil. This is a good example of the variety of kinds of awards that we have available. We have a very open-ended all-disciplines award, and then we have the much more focused specialized awards in Brazil. We also have an upcoming webinar that will do a deep dive into the opportunities for Brazil for this competition on March 28th. Again, please do join us for that if you can. Otherwise, we will record that and post it on our website. So let's look at other opportunities throughout the region. I want to start with Colombia. Colombia has an All Disciplines Award, again, a very open-ended award where you can really design a project and affiliate with a wide variety of institutions in Colombia. But then Colombia also has a very focused award, the National University of Colombia Distinguished Chair in Biodiversity and Sustainable Development. So that award, again, is very focused on biodiversity and sustainable development, and really you can only be hosted at Universidad Nacional de Colombia. The All Disciplines Award is a little bit more open-ended, where there is a wide variety of institutions in Colombia that you can affiliate with. But these are two wonderful opportunities in Colombia. Venezuela does have an award for 2020-2021. It's a multiple disciplines award, meaning that there are a set of preferred disciplines that you really can only apply in those specific disciplines in Venezuela. The awarding of a Fulbright U.S. Scholar Grant to Venezuela, though, is contingent upon the receipt of a visa. And in the award description, there's a lot of information around what that means. So we do have a program to Venezuela, but there are some restrictions around actually receiving a grant if you're not able to receive a visa by May 15th of 2020. Moving to the Southern Cone, Argentina has two awards. We have a Science and Technology Award and a Social Sciences and Humanities Award in Argentina. So what Argentina doesn't have is an All Disciplines Award, but really you can think about these two awards combined as an All Disciplines Award, but this is Argentina's way of making sure that there is a spread across different disciplines, so that there are specific spaces for folks in the STEM fields, but then also folks in the sciences and humanities. Chile has a similar structure with a Science and Tech Award and a Social Sciences, Humanities, and Education Award. You can think of these two awards as different sides of an All Disciplines Award. It's just a way of Chile not having all scientists or all social science folks, but sort of spreading the academic diversity across two different awards. Chile also has a postdoc focused on astronomy and Antarctic studies because of Chile's geographical position. This is really unique to Chile and a wonderful award for early career scientists. And then we see in Paraguay and Uruguay All Disciplines Awards, again, very open-ended opportunities where you're designing a project and finding a host affiliation in the country. But then Uruguay does have a specialized award focused on agriculture. The host for that is predefined. It's INEA, which is the Agriculture Department of Uruguay, and really appropriate for folks in agriculture and environmental sciences. So moving on, I want to talk about the most common type of award you'll see throughout our region, the All Disciplines Awards. So we have All Disciplines Awards in 23 countries in the Western Hemisphere. Generally, they support a variety of activities, and they're open to all academic disciplines, but they may have specific preferences of disciplines, or specific hosts that may be identified in the awards may have particular areas of focus that they are really interested in. We have All Disciplines Awards in every region in the Western Hemisphere, North America, Central America, the Caribbean, South America. I am going to read every single country that offers an All Disciplines Award just to make sure they resonate with you. But again, we have All Disciplines Awards in the Bahamas, in Barbados, Eastern Caribbean, in Belize, in Bolivia, in Brazil, Canada, Colombia, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Guyana, Haiti, Honduras, Jamaica, Nicaragua, Panama, Paraguay, Peru, Suriname, Trinidad and Tobago, and Uruguay. Again, this is the most common award that you'll find, the most common award type that you'll find in our catalog. These tend to be very open-ended, where you're finding a host institution to start a conversation with and really work together to develop a project that fits into the otherwise generally very open-ended parameters of these awards. Special features in the Western Hemisphere that you'll want to pay attention to. This region has some of the most involved language requirements, and you will see Spanish, Portuguese, French, Haitian Creole, Dutch be required at certain levels depending on the country, depending on the award, depending on the activity. A special feature, though, of the awards to the Western Hemisphere is the regional travel grant. So during your grant period, if you are a scholar in the Western Hemisphere, you're able to travel on a short-term trip to another eligible Western Hem country for, a seminar or, a workshop, something generally that will take a week or so. But it's a great way to see a different part of the region for a short-term experience, and this is additional funding to do that. Some notes on affiliation. So Brazil, you'll see in the All Disciplines Award that your level of Portuguese really depends on the agreement that you have with the host institution, and they have to write in their letter of invitation if they're either okay with whatever level of Portuguese you have or that you can do everything in English or some iteration of that. So you will see some considerations around having language requirements be addressed directly in letters of invitation. That'll be in the award description. Argentina generally will require a letter of invitation to come from a high-level administrator. So typically, your letter of invitation in most countries is coming directly from the faculty member or the contact that is hosting you directly. But in Argentina, there is a request that it comes from a high-level administrator, so a dean, a provost, the head of a department. For some countries, for some awards, example, Canada and Mexico, letters of invitation are not required or even should not be sought. There is some element of placement in some awards and with some opportunities in the Western Hemisphere. So again, while many of our awards do require you to procure a letter of invitation from a host institution in another country, there are some awards that either don't require it or tell you specifically not to find a letter of invitation. And then Chile, this is a special consideration. For the host institution letter from Chile, they have to write into the letter of invitation that they will provide additional supplemental funding to complement your Fulbright grant. So that is a special requirement for Chile. What I want to do now, I want to pause my screen and show you our catalog of awards and show you how to find these parameters that I'm referring to and these special considerations. So if you'll bear with me for just a second, I'm going to pause my screen and then I'm going to pull up our catalog of awards. Our catalog of awards is awards.cies.org. And I'm pulling that up right now. And you should, in just a second, you should be able to see our catalog of awards. So again, awards.cies.org. This is where you find opportunities and where you find the parameters of the different opportunities. So our initial search function is pretty broad. You can search by region, by country, and by discipline. We're going to focus on the Western Hemisphere. So let's search for West Ham, and we're going to search for all awards. So we see, oh, there's actually 56 awards in the Western Hemisphere, and they show up, if you just search for the region, they show up sort of alphabetically. We're starting with Argentina, the Bahamas, Barbados, Eastern Caribbean. When you open the catalog on the left-hand side, there are enhanced search functions. So you can search, again, by region. You can search by country. You can search if there's a multi-country aspect to the award. Again, the only multi-country award we have in West Ham is the Carlos Rico Canada Mexico Award. You can search by discipline. discipline is very, very broad. So again, engineering is super, super broad. Education is very broad. But what you'll want to do when you're starting your search is take a very broad search and then narrow it down to, you know, more specific opportunities. When you pull up, say, all awards in engineering, you can start to look at the different awards and see which ones are more appropriate for the kind of project that you want to do and the kind of profile that you're, you know, what stage of your career you're in. Under activity, we look at, we see that you can search by if there's a professional project involved or if it supports teaching, research, some combination of teaching and research. Under grant length, you can search by if it's a short award, under 3 months, or if it's more than 10 months or some iteration in between. And you can even search by if the award offers a flex option, meaning that you can divide the grant into multiple short-term visits instead of being away for the whole length of the grant. You can also search by degree requirement. Does it require a PhD or not? You can search by category. Is it a distinguished chair? Is it open to early career scholars or everyone but, and other iterations of that? You can search by professional profile. Is it open to academics only or open to folks outside of academia? And then lastly, you can search by the requirement of a letter of invitation. So you can see if a letter, you can search awards where a letter is required or a letter should not be sought and every iteration in between. So why don't we demonstrate two different kinds of awards in our catalog of awards? So I want to look at one of the Canada Research Chair Awards. So let's look at the Research Chair Awards in health and food security. So we open the award. There are four tabs that open, and each tab tells you something different. With the Health and Food Security Research Chair Award in Canada, this award supports research or a combination of teaching and research, and we can see that there are seven grants available. There are seven different opportunities spread out, pre-identified for this award, and that corresponds to the number of grants. And you can see for these awards, the host institutions are pre-identified and they have specific interest areas. So for example, McMaster University, under the overarching theme of health/food security, is really focused on a critical perspective on aging and social exclusion, the built environment, diversity and equality, mobility, movement, activities, and technologies. Contrast that with the University of Guelph, which is really focused on food sustainability, food authenticity, food environment, and other topics under that rubric. Then contrast it with, say, the University of Ottawa, and for those of you that know Canada well, of course, anything policy-related makes sense in Ottawa, the capital of Canada. So there are a lot of health law, policy, health technology, policy issues of focus for this award. So really a wide variety of different interests spread out throughout the different pre-identified host institutions. There's information around when the grant can begin and the grant length available. So this is a four-month grant, but you can also seek an unfunded extension for an additional 8 months with this. There are pre-identified disciplines, and you really want to make sure that your project resonates with these pre-identified disciplines in general, but then certainly specifically what the particular universities are looking for. And thankfully, this award gives a lot of information. Under award requirements, we see that a letter of invitation is optional. And then further information, a letter of invitation is not required, but applicants are encouraged to contact the institution to discuss research interests. Then we have a contact email at the Fulbright Commission in Canada, so info@fulbright.ca. You can absolutely feel free to reach out to Canada, but you can also reach out to me. Every award in our catalog of awards will have an IIE staff member attached to it, and this is my contact information. So we welcome you to be in touch with us if you're interested in this award or other awards. Under language requirements, of course, English is completely fine in Canada, except in the Francophone regions. None of the universities for this award are Francophone, but say they were, you would need French language ability commensurate with the requirements of your project. So there wouldn't necessarily be strict requirements for the language as long as your host institution in Francophone Canada was okay with your level of French or was okay with you doing the project in English. This award is open to academics and appropriately qualified professionals outside of academia. And then there's information about, further information about this award and the particular host institutions on the Fulbright Canada website. Additional information, applicants should identify host institutions in order of preference in your project statement and on the application form. You may be considered for other Fulbright Canada award opportunities as appropriate. So this is a special feature of these Canada Research Chair Awards. These are wonderful opportunities to affiliate with Canadian host institutions organized under specific themes. Now, under award benefits, we see the potential funding that an award could provide and any other special features. So we see a stipend amount, additional add-on amounts for different features like an orientation, or if you're participating in a for Canada, there's a visiting scholar speakers program, community leadership program. There are additional sources of funding depending on your level of engagement with the award and with this built into your project. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we do have a feature in the Western Hemisphere of the regional travel program where you're able to travel for a short-term activity, a workshop, a seminar in another eligible Western Hemisphere country. The last tab, country area overview, really focuses on how the country interacts with the Fulbright program, and some useful information about the country and its engagement with the Fulbright program. So I want to go back to the general search for all different awards throughout the Western Hemisphere and show a different kind of award. Let's look at the All Disciplines Award to El Salvador. So this award features approximately two grants, meaning that about two people can be funded under this award. This supports research, teaching, or a combination of teaching and research. A PhD is not required. This is a 4 to 9 month grant, but there is a flex option, meaning that you can break up your grant period into multiple short-term visits. You can affiliate with any appropriate institution, and if you don't have contacts in El Salvador, you may contact the U.S. Embassy for assistance with affiliation. Applications are sought in all appropriate disciplines, but there's a particular focus on the list here, and then there's additional information around specializations that are sought, things like business administration and engineering. We'll see under the award requirements, a letter of invitation for this is optional as well. Ultimately, hosts will be approved by the U.S. Embassy, and we do have a contact at the U.S. Embassy if you have questions about an appropriate host or if you need assistance with affiliation. Then some useful links for El Salvador are listed. We also see language requirements, intermediate to advanced Spanish is required. You do have to submit a language proficiency report, which is an embedded form, in our application, where you will be evaluated by a language professor. So you have to find a professor of Spanish. You'll find a professor of Spanish or someone qualified to teach the language to non-native speakers of that language to evaluate you. This is an embedded form in our application, so a very straightforward process. If you are a native speaker of Spanish, though, you only have to self-evaluate, so you just indicate that you're a native speaker of Spanish. Under award benefits, we see a variety of ranges of what this award could provide depending on your activities. So if you're researching versus teaching research, then additional funding for things like book allowance and relocation allowance, and then again that Western Hemisphere travel grant. Then we have the country area overview, which shows the overview of how the country engages with the Fulbright program. So as you can see, I wanted to demonstrate two different kinds of awards in the Western Hemisphere. There's a wide variety of parameters to our awards, contrasting, say, the very open-ended all-disciplines award to El Salvador versus the very focused research chair award in Canada. And you really, though, want to find the right award for you. You can only apply to one award, so you really have to find the right kind of award. What does the award support, and what kind of profile does the award look for? And that, I hope I've done a good job of showing you where you can find that information. So what I'm going to do now is jump back into the PowerPoint presentation to finish out the sort of formal aspect of the presentation and then open the floor to questions. And for those of you, I see that we have some questions already chatted in. Please continue chatting them in, and we'll get to them very shortly. But right now, if you'll bear with me, you should be able to see the PowerPoint again. Great. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some other Fulbright programs. We do have the International Education Administrator programs. These are two-week seminars for international ed professionals where you're applying to be part of a cohort, and in this cohort, you participate in a generally two-week-long seminar where you're going, meeting with officials throughout the country to get a sense of the international education and higher ed scenario in that country, make contacts, and really expand your understanding. It's a wonderful opportunity for folks who hold an administrative capacity. We also have the Fulbright U.S. Student Program, appropriate for recent graduates, post-grad candidates through their dissertation level, and sort of early career professionals and artists to conduct study and research abroad, but also to teach English. Then there are some institutional opportunities. Certainly we have the Visiting Scholar Program, where international scholars are seeking affiliation in the U.S. That is led by the scholar, but there are some proactive ways to engage with the Fulbright Scholar Program, the visiting side. So the Scholar in Residence Program, you apply to host an international scholar on your campus for a semester or an academic year to generally teach undergrads and give workshops around international issues relevant to their expertise. The Outreach Lecturing Fund allows you to invite an international scholar in the U.S. that's already in the U.S. rather, to come to your campus for a short-term opportunity for a week or so to really give a workshop or a seminar. And then certainly the FLTA program, Fulbright Language Teaching Assistant Program, you can apply to host language teachers, international language teachers, to come to your campus and teach their language. So there are lots of ways to stay in touch with us. You can join MyFulbright at CIES2.org. You can email us. You can visit our website. We certainly have a referral program where you can refer your colleagues to us. And you can indicate if you'd like us to mention you have referred them or not. But that's a great way if you have colleagues that you are interested in referring to us that you think might be interested in these kinds of opportunities, and we'll follow up with them with some general information and potentially application information. Also, we're on all social media, so lots of ways to stay in touch with us, the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our website. I will also follow up with everyone who registered for this webinar with a whole bunch of digital resources that you can use as you're gathering information or crafting your application. So we break down every aspect of the application. We give you sample project statements, advice on how to find letters of invitation, and a whole bunch of other resources. So at this point, I want to thank everyone for joining, and I want to open the question module and see if we have any other questions. And if Dr. Oquendo Villar is still with us, I may ask her to share some more insight about her experiences.
Hi, yes, I'm still here. And I do have a response to your question. What is my main piece of advice? Well, I would say that, of course, after you have articulated your project and you've gotten accepted, I would advise very much to start reaching out to contact in Colombia or whichever country you're going to before getting there. Because it can make a world of difference and it can advance your progress significantly once you land there. And it could be at institutions, but it can be also outside the institutions. And that will make your work flow better as well as your life being better in the place because you are going to live there. So I would say don't wait until you get there to start making those connections. Start right as you know that you're getting accepted. That would be my main piece of advice.
That's certainly a wonderful piece of advice. Even if you're not, even if your award does not require you to get a letter of invitation, it's always a good idea to reach out to networks and you know let people know that this is in the works. That you may get a Fulbright, or you know once you get a Fulbright, certainly you start to building that network, that community of support on the other side. So thank you so much for that insight. I'm going to get to some of the questions that folks have asked. So can we apply to more than one award? No, you cannot. You can only apply to one specific award. So you do have to be very selective about that. There is a place in the application where you can indicate if you're interested in other award opportunities, but really, really that's only an indication. You should not write an application that could go one way or the other. So really you do have to focus. And that includes, we had a follow-up question about the IEA program. That includes the IEA program. So you can only apply to one specific country and you do have to be selective about that. We had a question about what professional projects mean. So in the Western Hemisphere, so backtrack a little bit. There are only two awards in the Western Hemisphere that support professional projects. One of them is the Public Policy Fellowship. So the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship is a different kind of scholar award. It's really focused on professional projects and research. There are four countries involved. One of the countries is Peru. The other countries are Burma, Cote d'Ivoire, and Ukraine. Each country has a different area of focus. The Peru area of focus is really focused on the Ministry of Women and Vulnerable Communities, the Ministry of Social Inclusion, and there's an anti-poverty association, Mesa de Concertación de Lucha contra la Pobreza, which is a multi-party group that works on policies to fight poverty. So really, the project that you would propose if you were applying to the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship for Peru, you would propose a project that would develop, you really focus on your professional development along the lines of one of those areas of focus. And each country will have a different area of focus and different requirements. For Peru, for example, advanced Spanish is required. Other countries under the public policy program don't necessarily have language requirements per se. All right, let's get to other questions. So we have a question, how many grants are available to a specific country? I hope that I showed you on the catalog of awards, you can see that information quite readily. It's right under the award description on the first page. The particular question is about Uruguay, so I'm going to pull up Uruguay All Disciplines Award, and we see that there are about two grants available to the All Disciplines Award to Uruguay. Okay, we have a question. Some teaching grants include language and literature non-U.S. That means teaching French, Spanish, et cetera. However, under language requirements, teaching will be in English. Can you explain this, for example, teaching French and English? That would really depend on a particular award. And if you're getting, this is a very, very nuanced question. Some countries are open to certain things, others aren't. Some awards are open to certain things, others aren't. You also have to think about what the relevancy to the country of having an American scholar come teach, say, Japanese, is that relevant to the country? But That's a good question. That's a very nuanced question. And what I would want someone to do in that, who's having those kinds of nuanced questions, or, you know, what does intermediate Spanish mean in Chile versus advanced Spanish in another country? Those are things that you should approach me with, and we can go over the particular country together. And if I don't know the answer, I can work with the Fulbright Commission or U.S. Embassy to get, you know, sort of more information about particular requirements. We have a question. Can you apply for Fulbright funding for a graduate program abroad? You absolutely can, but not under the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. There are many, many opportunities on the Fulbright U.S. Student Program that support graduate enrollment in other countries. So you'll want to make sure that you are paying attention to the correct Fulbright program, but certainly under the Fulbright U.S. Student Program, there are opportunities for funding for graduate studies. Will the webinar for Brazil be available on our website? Absolutely. So we have a very robust series of webinars upcoming. We do record and post all of them on our website, generally within a week of the live date. If you cannot join us live, we still recommend that you register with us because you'll receive a notification when the materials go online. But in general, you can expect, even if you're not registered with us, you can expect to see a recording online about a week or so after the live date. There is no early decision, so the deadline is September 16th, unless otherwise specified in the award description. You're not able to apply early and receive an early decision. There is no way to search by language requirement. That's another question that we got, but keep in mind that in the Western Hemisphere, you're likely to find language requirements in any country where English is not spoken, or in the case of Canada, if you are applying for a Francophone institution, you should have commensurate French for your project, or the Francophone institution in Canada should be okay with whatever level of French that you have or do not have. Okay. When are applicants notified of their acceptance? The website says anywhere from January to May. Does it depend on the country? It absolutely depends on the country. With 130 different countries, we don't have one time where we notify all applicants. But, you know, ideally, you would know, I would say most people would know by late March, but again, there's no guarantee of when a particular country or even a particular award will announce decisions. So what happens, though, is there's a U.S.-based review, and that generally happens in the fall right after the application deadline. We let you know one way or the other if you made it through that process, and those that do make it through that process go to the countries. The countries then make their own decisions and may have their own application processes. They may want to interview you. We're not really involved with the country's application process, but the countries then make their final recommendations to the Fulbright Scholarship Board, who then makes the final decision. This is, again, rolling anywhere between January and May, and it will depend greatly on the country. There are a few questions that I am going to get to offline because they're very specific. But one question, this is a wonderful question, and Carmen, Dr. Oquendo Villar, have you discussed creative artist Fulbright? So I do want to get Dr. Oquendo Villar's take on this, and that'll be our last question, but I can say that Fulbrighters include artists like Dale Chihuly and Renee Fleming, so you can absolutely do a project on the arts on a Fulbright, but how wonderful to have that question when we have a Fulbrighter who did a project in filmmaking. So Dr. Oquendo Villar, can you talk a little bit about your experience filmmaking on the Fulbright?
Yes, of course, I'd be delighted. It is very much possible and to propose a project which is in the arts. In my case, it was in filmmaking. First a traditional documentary and then a transmedia project. The way I did it, I'm not going to say that all of them have to be this way, but the way my application was successful twice
was because I backed it up with a lot of research. I proposed a project, and the aspect of the project that I proposed in the first case was actual research, in a way what we could call pre-production research. And in the second time, research was involved, but also production, filming. But I framed it in a very research-oriented way. So I provided a lot of examples and films and art movements and books and other movies and field work that I was citing and I was already considering. So that would be my recommendation, to make your proposal very solid in the art, and in any field, but especially in the arts. That would be my recommendation.
Well, that's wonderful, wonderful insight. And I, you know, there are a lot of exciting award opportunities for throughout the globe, but specifically to the Western Hemisphere. I really do want to thank everyone for joining us this year, for joining us for this webinar, rather. I encourage you to be in touch. I will follow up with everyone that registered with some digital resources, as well as the recording of this webinar when it's available. And again, I encourage you to be in touch. If you're interested in Brazil, Canada, or Mexico, we have upcoming webinars for those three countries. And we'll also have, we'll have an advising webinar coming up for the Western Hemisphere in the coming months as well. But we do encourage you to be in touch with us. We want to thank you all for joining. Thank you, Dr. Oquendo Vidar, for sharing your insights. And have a wonderful afternoon, everyone.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.